Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I want to talk with you this morning about resurrection. I really intend to keep it as condensed as I can. I want to get you out here. I'm going to let you understand what it's like to, I heard someone complain the other day, I preached too long. So I'm going to let you out in time to get there at the same time the Baptists do. And you can fight your way into the restroom. And then you'll appreciate my long preaching from now on. I don't know about you, but I'm going to have fun. I'm going to tell you, in a couple of Sundays, I turned 61, and I've decided, look, I've got probably about somewhere around 20, 24 more real good, hard living years, and I'm going to have fun these last 20-some years. Amen? If you have the Word of the Lord, God's Word with you, go to, yeah, if you got the Word of the Lord, stand up and give it. But anyway, if you got the Word of the Lord... Go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. We're going to talk about resurrection today, but I hope I can shift us to have a different look at resurrection. I know as this began to come to me, it really solidified in my spirit that I believe we approach the resurrection with a non-kingdom mindset. How many of you know religion has done some things to us that we don't even realize? Just things that we believe and things that we do because we were taught that, and things that we've absorbed, and it affects us. But in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now, let me just share something with you. When he went to the cross, you're going to hear me say this several times today, and he died on the cross, that brought forth, his shedding of blood on that cross brought forth the forgiveness of sins. Isn't it wonderful to live in that forgiveness? See, repentance is not something we do. Repentance is a way of life. How many of you, since you entered into this service, have been breathing and swallowing? Blinking your eyes. All of that is going on naturally. It's actually the real, it's subconsciously, it's the real you. Do you know that repentance should become the same way with you? It should be a natural thing that when you step over that line and you feel that conviction of Holy Spirit in your heart, that you stop right then and you repent. Listen, repentance is not saying I'm sorry. We have a lot of people that say they're sorry. But what they're saying, I'm sorry I got caught. When true repentance is at work, you take on a new way of thinking. How many of you realize? You got to think about things differently. And when you take on a new way of thinking, you're going to operate differently. Amen? How many of you have come into a new way of thinking about things? And it causes you to respond, when you take on a new way of thinking, it causes you to respond more so than react. Can you say amen?
Amen.
To respond more so than react. Reactions are dangerous. Amen? Reactions are dangerous. We need to be people that's going to respond to Holy Spirit. Going to respond to the things that God is doing. In the book of Acts in chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he through Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, I want you to know something because I want you to catch something. Let me show you the difference between kingdom understanding and religion. Religion teaches you that the church of the living God gathered in the upper room and the apostles were both birthed forth from that. But this is there at the upper room. And it says he's speaking to the apostle. Let me tell you what kingdom understanding will help you understand. The apostles gathered in the upper room. And the church was birthed forth from them. And when you come into that kingdom understanding, it changes everything about church life. See, let me just share with you, there is a transition taking place in the body of Christ today. We're actually moving into something that John F. Kennedy said years ago. The religion has taught us that the church is there for us. But the truth of the matter is, you're there for the church. Amen? It's time to quit going to church. You've heard me say this many times, and start being the church. I had some pastors get a hold to me. How many of you saw my little posting of me on my Harley, and I put on there, said I'd rather be out riding my Harley and being the church than being in church and thinking about riding my Harley. I have a teaching I do here in this house. Wherever you are, be there. You know, if your heart and your mind is down on Sardis Lake catching crappie fish right now, I dismiss you. No, Ed, don't go. Stay. No. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, pastors are so, I want to say, church leaders. I don't want to pick on pastors. Church leaders many times are so insecure, they don't want anybody to miss a service. Let me tell you how I am about it. I would rather you be on the lake fishing than sitting here with your mind on the lake fishing. Yeah. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yes.
Amen. Now, bring your tithe by first. No.
That's why the internet's
there. Yeah, that's what we say. You know, while you're in the boat, on the lake, just punch into thecitygate.org and send your tithe in, all right? You'll catch more fish. Man, we've got guests in here, and they're wondering about me. He's just like every other preacher. All he thinks about is money. No, I really don't. But anyway, let me go back. He, through Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he had presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Can I just give you a little prophetic nugget? John Kilpatrick prophesied a 100-day word for March the 1st, which ends on June the 8th, Pentecost Sunday. Today, we're 50 days from there. For that, we're at the halfway point. And 50 is Pentecost. These are not going, actually, beginning of last night, we're 50 days away. What I want you to catch is, there are some things coming in the next 50 days that's going to be incredible. I hear all of the Passover meals that Jim Lehman did, the one for Ken Tony, the one at his home. I hadn't heard actually about the one in Grenada, but they were just unbelievable. We're seeing people posting on that. We are in a time that God is doing incredible things. And you need to tap into it, and you need to be a part of it in a greater level. But see, we've had this idea about the resurrection that we're all, you know, one of these days he's either going to come back, the second coming, and I have to say this, so you're going to forgive me, not the rapture, the second coming. Now, let me just share. You say, why are you saying that? I believe in the coming of Christ, but I can't find that word rapture in the Bible. All right? I find the word second coming there. And so I'm just telling you, the second coming, he's coming back one day. And when he is, I'm his. And I believe you're his. But what I want you to catch is, we've got to move into a mindset that it's not about some days. Everything religion has done has set our eyes and our heart on a day way off out there somewhere. I've got news for you. Resurrection life is here today. If you've had your marriage healed and brought back, listen, I got this 3 years ago. Resurrection is the power of reversal.
Yes.
It's resurrection life that takes cancer out of your body and puts into you health. It's resurrection life that turns a marriage around. It's resurrection life that can take a perverted lifestyle and make it holy.
Yes.
We need some resurrection life today. Quit fixing your eyes, fixing your heart, fixing your spirit on what's coming down the pipe. I got news for you. It's here today. He can resurrect your bank account today. Anybody here ever? I've had some dead bank accounts. And he can resurrect them.
Yes.
But he does so by giving. He said, I give you the power to get well. That's resurrection power. All it takes is one decision, turning something, just making one little decision. You know, it begins with tithing. Oh, he's back on that money thing. You do what you want to do. I'm going to tithe. Amen? You do what you want to do. He's going to get the first 10% of everything that comes our way, and then some. 30-some years have proved. In fact, let me just share something with you. Susan and I were talking about this week. This house is sowing more seed into other ministries than it ever has. The percentage of what we're giving ever have. And I'm telling you, the blessings are here. And you know that I talk to pastors every week who don't know how they're going to pay their bills. They don't know how they're going to keep their buildings. They're going to have to lay people off for staff. With that, they're going through. And I even sent some questions to one of the pastors that's a friend of mine recently. And I asked him, I said, where are you tithing? You know, a lot of church leaders tithe to themselves. Let me tell you what that's doing. That's eating your seed. You always tithe. What is a storehouse? Come on, we've taken the offering. You understand that? Okay, I'm not trying to take it off. What is a storehouse? A storehouse is where there is life. There was meat in the storehouse. There's water in the, there's food in the, you always tithe to a life source. I don't tithe to City Gate Church. Because I don't draw life from this church, I bring life to this church. Christ through me, the hope of glory. So what I'm trying to help you see is we've got to shift this to where we are not looking for, there is going to be a great resurrection one day. And those who have gone by the grave, they're going to come out of that grave. Amen. I had someone get in touch with me the other day, and that was a good question. Don't hear me wrong, but they want to know about cremation. Listen, you know, it's not biblical or unbiblical. It's a conscious conviction. And I told him, because listen, we're going to get a new body. If there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, we're going to get a new body. I've already put in my order. I want to be 6'8" in the next one. The truth of the matter, how many of you think you're spiritual? Hold your hand up if you think you're scared to answer. I just proved you're not spiritual. If you're spiritual, if you see me in the spirit, I am 6'8". All right? Come on. And so are you.
Amen.
Resurrection life. Why does it have to be something? The second, everybody's waiting on that great resurrection one of these days. But I've got news for you. He wants to resurrect something for you today. He wants to resurrect something for you. I saw pictures, Tim, of your daughter you put on Facebook. There was resurrection in her eyes. Beautiful girl. When I looked, I even blew the picture up to see what you got her for Easter. And I thought... No, I don't. That's a good daddy right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a blessing.
Tim's a single parent, and he works hard, you know, for his daughter. And it makes me proud when I see people doing that. But see, resurrection is not something that's coming down the pike. It's something that we can embrace every day. See, the old religious mindset always focuses on the rapture or the second coming, or it always speaks about, you know, he's going to start bringing signs and wonders. I mean, signs and wonders are here. I mean, there are here. I mean, one of our greatest testimony is just simply this one. You know, Clint Knowles and Liz Knowles from Hackleberg Community Church in Hackleberg, Alabama. Her mother had a word of knowledge, and her mother was prayed for by the youth of the church. And a week later, she went in because she was in congestive heart failure. And the doctor's question was something like this: "Said, what have you done?" And she said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, your heart's different." And she said, "Well, the only thing I can tell you, I was prayed for at church." And his answer was, "I knew it was that was going to be your answer." He said, "Because you've now got a heart of a teenager."
Praise God. Wow.
A man just drove up from Texas to a man I know in Holly Grove, Arkansas. That don't mean anything to you, but that's a little bitty place. I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere, right the other side of Pine City, all right? Just a little bit north of Deep Ellum. Am I helping you understand? I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere. And he drove up from Texas the other day and went through delivery. Been given 4 weeks to live with cancer. Goes back and the doctor run all the tests and can't find any of it. Come on! That's the power of reversal. And can I tell you something? This is the end of the story. I'm going to give it to you. You're carrying every bit of it. There wasn't any more resurrection power in Jesus than is in you today. We've got to just get our mind off of him doing something down the road and understand that he wants to do it right now. Look to your neighbor and say, right now. He wants to do it. See, we've got to shift our way of thinking. Some of you know the story. We moved here 10 years ago now. I'm going to be 11, I guess, in August. And we moved here and I guess it'd be 10 years. 10 years in August. And I heard the Lord say, sell your motorcycle and give Susan all the money. And I said, get behind me, Satan. I rebuke you, devil. You know, I mean, the part of the story is this. We've moved into so many houses and planting churches and just hung sheets over windows. I mean, you know, we've been so broke at time, we didn't even have thumbtacks to put in the sheets to hold them up there. We'd take butter knives and slip it in behind the windowsill, the window trim to hold it. I mean, come on. When you've done what we've done, you make sacrifices to get by. And so in the process of that, are you hearing me? In the process of that, the Lord told me, he said, sell that motorcycle and give her every bit of the money. Let her buy all of the window treatments and all the curtains and everything that she needs. And I said, Lord, I'm happy to do that because I've been wanting to get rid of that Honda and get a Harley. And so I went to her and told her, I said, I'm going to sell that motorcycle. I think it brought $6,000. And I said, I'm going to give you the money. You get all the stuff you want, but I've got an agenda. I want a Harley. And some of you know the story. We had someone bless me with a Harley. I'm just telling you, resurrection power works today. How many of you have got a prodigal child or a prodigal friend, someone that's away from God you're believing for? Hold your hands up. I'm telling you, today, if you can catch, I don't know how well I'm preaching, but I'm just telling you, if you can catch even the spirit of my words today, you can see that child, that loved one, that friend, that husband, that spouse, come back to the Lord. God is putting out a net right now like never before, and he's going to catch the ones that the world think can't be caught. They're going to come in and they're not going to look, smell, walk, dress, act like us, thank God. I'm telling you, we're coming in some service. God's going to take services over and we're going to see things. I can't wait till one Sunday, you know, that we come in here and Pastor Dan's up preaching and all of a sudden Pastor Dan just starts to levitate about 20 feet above the floor. And everybody is like this. And then the next Sunday, we come in here, and maybe Jeanette's up preaching, and all of a sudden, everybody in the congregation levitates about 10 feet above their seat. Well, see, I'm trying to stretch you out of your thinking. Had someone say to us today, in fact, said, some of their friends, parents won't let them come to this church because we do crazy things here. How many of you know if it's in the Bible, it's not crazy? He said he uses the foolish thing to confound. But we've got a shift in this thinking, in this resurrection. Let me go on with this and give. Let me tell you a few things. Through his death, Jesus took care of our sins. But when he resurrected, he conquered death. That 94-year-old lady, I didn't know her, Dr. Lisa's grandmother. I'm just telling you that this morning at whatever time, 6-something, when she breathed her last breath in this realm, she breathed of a realm out of a realm that we ain't never tasted of. she moved. Death doesn't have us. He conquered death when he came out of the grave. She was resurrected today. Listen, all this is, all this flesh is, all this flesh on Star, on Natalie, on Diana, on anybody that's here, on Ever, all it is a suit of clothes that he put the real you inside of. Yes. But you got to shift your thinking. The work of the cross got you forgiveness. He resurrected, he conquered death. When he ascended, listen to this. Through his death, he took your sins. Through his resurrection, he conquered death. But when he ascended, he was raised above all authority. Do you know that he could not have said, all authority on heaven and earth, in heaven and earth is given to me and I give it unto you, had he not ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father? And we've got to realize this is what the resurrection is about. You've been given authority. Can I share something with you? Some of us are not using our authority properly. Man, I love going to a doctor that's full of the Holy Ghost. The only thing they found in my checkup, and it wasn't real, real, real bad, but my triglycerides were higher than they needed to be. And I love what Dr. Lisa told me. Do this, more exercise. She went through the whole thing. She said, and you need to prophesy to your triglyceride. Woo! So I just asked her, I said, well, can I just prophesy and not exercise? She said, no. Come on, you got to speak. Any of you here, I've been having a little bit of some situation with my right knee, and I've been prophesying to it. I've been laying hands on it. I've been commanding it to work properly. I told it the other day. I said, you got 24, 25 more years that you got to get around better than you're doing. Come on now. Come into alignment with his power. It's better. Are you hearing me? Number four, when he was enthroned, he became king. See, he moved from death to resurrection to ascension to enthronement. And through his enthronement, he became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you hearing me? Let me close in just giving you some things. In Exodus 23 and verse 20, these are all promises of the resurrection. He assigns angels to you. Let me just tell you what I believe. I cannot give you Bible for this. I'm going to give you an opinion. My opinion could be wrong. But I believe we have Christians. No, I'm going to say it different. I believe we have believers in the body of Christ who are not utilizing their angels. And I'm not sure that some of what John Kilpatrick, When he got this word about God redefining, I'm not sure there's not going to be some reassignment of angels. You better start using yours, because if you don't, I'm going to get them. Listen, I've got two angels. Some of you that, come on, guests, don't run out. I've got two angels. I named them. Their name is Tina and Louise. That's what I named them. I have another two named Hope and Expectation, if you like that more biblical. But I named them. And let me tell you what Louise can do. Louise can disguise herself as a yellow Porsche. Am I telling the truth, Susan? And on the plate of this yellow Porsche, it says angel. And she, when it's raining, she parks right in a parking spot beside the doors at restaurants. And people drive by and never park in it, and we pull up and drive right in, get out right in. Somebody, I forgive you, but somebody just thought, I thought this preacher was crazy, but he just validated my thought. So is it not all the time that we park, especially when the weather's bad? Right? Come on, if you don't believe this stuff. And I don't know why it's a yellow Porsche, but that's what it is. God showed me in the Spirit. And so, and then I pull up and I get preferred treatment. I'm a VIP. But I got news for you. You are too. There's not a person in here that is not a valuable player to God. You've got something to accomplish for Him. Number two, God is an enemy to your enemies. That's Exodus 23:22. Man, I want to tell you something. When God goes to work on your behalf, your enemies scatter. When God goes to work on your behalf, your enemies scatter. Number three, God gives you prosperity. That's in Exodus 23, verse 25. Let me tell you what, prosperity is not just about having more money in your account. Prosperity is having peace. Paul said, whether I abound or whether I abase, I've learned to be content. Sometimes you've got to be content and lack before the door of heaven will open and pour out an abundance of abundance. Amen? You've got to come to that place that you can embrace the resurrection power that is now. And you do so by learning to be content. Number four, He takes sickness away from you. Exodus 23:25. Number five, He gives you long life. Exodus 23:26. Listen, you need to claim these things. And young people that's in this room, honor your elders. Honor your parents. I've heard two or three people that live to be what we would call over 100 years old. In fact, this coming Saturday, my cousin, Larry Nash, his wife, Judy, her mother is celebrating her 100th birthday. And I've heard a lot of people that live to be up in that range and above. In fact, the lady that lived to be in France, that lived to be 131 years old, I don't know if you've ever heard this story. Y'all will look her up with it. But one thing, when they asked her, what they thought gave her a long life was she claimed, her deal was, she said, I always honored my parents and people older than me. Can I tell you a story about this lady? I love this story. When she was 78 years old, she sold her house to an investor with the understanding she could live in it till she died. And she lived to be 131 years old, 24 years longer than the investor did. I love that. You know, with it. She honored. Her dad sold art supplies, and I believe Van Gogh, is that the one that was more recent? Anyway, one of the painters used to come into her dad's shop and buy his art supplies. And I listened to her when she was interviewed at like 127. And, I mean, just incredibly sharp with it. Listen, we buy in. Resurrection power will keep you. It will keep you young. It will keep you thinking on a different plane. It'll keep you doing things. It will cause you to move into a realm that you've not been moving in. Are you hearing me? Number six, God brings increase and inheritance. Exodus 23 and 30. Let me just tell you, we are in a time of increase.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
Some of you are going to get some promotions that you weren't even expecting if you'll change your stinking attitude.
Yes.
You've got to move out of this victim mindset. I am so amazed at the people right now that have a victim mindset. You know, we saw a big deal today on the news about somebody from that was stopped and searched and all that to see. They had Colorado plates and the police did. It was a big deal on Fox News, and I just caught a little bit of it this morning. I want to just tell you something. It's a victim mindset. I was stopped. Some of you know the story. I was stopped several years ago one night driving in from Texas to go see my dad at the hospital. And they were, you know, I was there. I was detained an hour and 45 minutes because my pickup was licensed in the ministry's name. And because of this terrorist stuff, they wanted, you know, the ministry here used to be called Purpose to the Nations. We now changed it to the City Gate with Purpose. But they couldn't understand that. And they went over everything in there. I mean, I declared my pistol to him. I went through everything. I did everything with that. But when he got through, when it was on, he's giving me my papers. And I was there on the side of the road on I-30 for an hour and 45 minutes. And I looked him right in the eye and I said, you profiled me, didn't you? And he said to me, Mr. Nash, why would you say that? I said, because I don't have a problem with profiling. I don't. I think it's needed. Let me tell you, I drove a customized pickup and I had a tinted piece of plexiglass over my license plate. And when he shined his spotlight on my truck coming down through there, my plate didn't reflect. And that's what the drug runners run. They run trucks like I was driving. They come through at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they try to conceal their license plate. And I just told him straight up. I said, I'm not upset over it. I wish they'd let you do it more often. And in fact, let me just tell you, I could be real petty about it. I was trying to get there because the doctors come in real early so I could get a report on my dad who was in ICU, and I missed getting to see the doctor. But if our law enforcement had more right to do some things, and people would get out of this victim mindset. Are you hearing me? Are there bad policemen that inflict wrong things on people? Yeah, but not every one of them are that way. And we need to understand, every country in the world profiles, except this one. Every country. Number 7. See, I just stirred up some of y'all on that. You don't agree with me. But that's all right. You'll get over it. You'll mature one day. Number 7, God gives special year of blessing. Let me just tell you, resurrection power. I don't want you to limit it to 12 months. When you come into a resurrectional mindset, every day is the beginning of a new year that you can have resurrection power. See, I don't believe in the year of Jubilee. I believe in the spirit of Jubilee. And I believe anything that God does spiritual is eternal. Amen. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the earth. He had so much confidence that you were going to come to the Lord that he wrote your name in it before you came to the Lord. Man, that's good news. I mean, I believe there's probably at least 8 or 10 times he told whatever angel is in charge of that book, he said, I think we're going to have to block Clay's out. I don't think he's going to come to us. No, he didn't, because he has faith, and he has so much faith that he put everyone's name there, and when they don't receive Christ, they blot it. Are you hearing me? Resurrection life. Now, I want to go back to one other thing, and then we're going to close with a video. Chuck, get that video ready for me. I want you to hear me. I have a nephew who has cerebral palsy. Got a withered arm and leg. He's the best one-handed mechanic I've ever known in my life. He didn't realize he's handicapped. That's called resurrection power. Do you know if you take on a victim mindset, you can't embrace resurrection power? Let me tell you, victim mindset comes many ways. Everybody's out to get me. How about this one? I'm owed that. You cannot believe the things in 30-some years of ministry that people have just taken from church building because they were members there. And, you know, it's their church and they should be able to take home the blender or the can opener. I'm serious. I know it appalls you, but people have this mindset that, you know, I go to church there and I paid my tithes. Years ago, we bought a Lincoln Continental car back in the 90s. It had 80,000 miles on it. And the first day we drove to church, that particular day we had a guest minister and our kids went home and we carried the guest minister out to eat. And someone called our kids at home and said, where'd your dad get that car and what did he pay for it? Don't you think that's too good a car for him to own? The church didn't pay for my car. Come on, I'm trying to help you see. We've got to move into resurrection life. Can I tell you what? You can't prosper to any greater place than you let me as a senior leader prosper to. People don't like that, but it's true. You know, the old adage was this, and the old line, Pentecostal church keeps the pastor broke and he'll need us and he'll stay and he'll be faithful. Most of them had nervous breakdown. 20-some-hundred pastors a month quit the ministry in the United States, according to George Barna. Many of them are not called, but some of it is because it's just so hard. Are you hearing me? I don't need a raise. I'm trying to help you understand that resurrection power is something we got to embrace every day. We got to teach our kids about it. We got to understand that when you change your mindset, you're not going to operate as a victim. Amen? You know, can I tell you something? I'm 5 foot seven and a half, 5 foot eight, somewhere right around that. But I think of myself bigger than that. I don't see myself as my shortness handicapped me. Yeah, I was built for picking cotton and not peaches. Amen? Some of y'all catch that eventually. What do you see? Well, I was born in the South. I pick on Rita because she's a daughter to me. You know, I was born of the race. I'm born in the South. And, you know, it's just hard. I'm going to close before I show this video. I've used this before. And this is, I'm not just preaching to my African-American friends here, my black friends here. But I grew up with a man named Bob Jordan. Bob Jordan was a black man. Bob Jordan was born legally blind. He could see light and images and with it, but he never could drive, and he never could see well enough to drive a tractor. And he worked on the Nash farm all his life. And he was my friend, and he was one of the hardest working men I've ever seen. And he could shovel grain, and he could do, you know, there were certain things that he could do. He had just enough eyesight that he could see images and things like that. One day, an old truck broke down, and we had to scoop all the grain off of it onto another truck. Motor blew up in it. And Bob and I were doing it, and I'd always heard all my life that Bob's dad was a slave. And I asked him about it. You know, being raised in the South, I didn't know a lot about it. And he said, yeah. He said, my dad was raised on a plantation. And I said, well, Bob, what did he tell you about it? You know, I was inquisitive just as a young kid. And he started telling me some stuff. And he said, well, to be truthful with you, Clay, said, Dad was raised on a plantation. He was a slave, but he never was a slave.
That's good.
And I said, now, Bob, I'm not understanding you. You said he was raised, you know, he lived, he worked, had a white master. But you said he was a slave, but he wasn't a slave. He said, they never could enslave him here. And that has stuck
awesome.
With me.
Awesome.
I'm not just talking about slavery. I'm not talking about a racial thing here. You know, Chuck works at Technicolor. Can they enslave you?
Oh, absolutely.
Dan works at FedEx. Can they enslave you? Steve works at Hyundai. Can they enslave you? There's a lot of people that's enslaved to things because of the way they think. It's time to break this off of us. You're not a victim. Either the work he did on the cross, it is finished and it was complete, or it wasn't. You make up your mind. I'm going to live like a victor. I'm going to live like he's the King of Kings and I'm the little king. I've got dominion because he's my bigger brother. And because he was raised from the dead. I'm going to operate in this resurrection power. Now, I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. Get the video ready. And here's what I want to ask you. What is it that's handicapping you? I was trying to think. I don't know if we really have anybody in the room that has a real strong physical handicap. I'm not trying to draw it. But what is it handicapping you? You know, a victim mindset will keep you from getting promotions when other people get promoted. A victim mindset will draw the wrong teachers. A victim mindset will draw the wrong supervisors. A victim mindset will, with it, you've got to shift this into resurrectional thinking, resurrectional life, resurrectional mindset. And when you do, God will do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can think or ask. Think about what's handicapping you today. I come from a poor family. I come from a heathen, alcoholic, Masonic family. And I had to break every one of those. In our family, there was a hereditary heart disease that all the Nashes were dying of. And isn't it amazing? I had 13 kids. My dad didn't end up with it, and I don't have it, and my kids don't have it. Why is that? Because we broke that curse. Because, I remember the day my dad was not born again. His sister said to him, his sister Corbeth, she said to him, said, Bob, Daddy died of it. Carl died of it. Roland died of it. And so-and-so died of it. I talk about all the family died of it and said, and you better get over at that doctor and be checked because you're going to die of it. My dad looked her in the eye. He didn't even know positive confession. He didn't know Jesus. And this is what he said. He said, y'all can have it if you want to. I ain't having it. Isn't it amazing how 13 kids, he's the only one that didn't have it. There's something to declaring. Now, let me tell you what I believe helped it. When I got born again, I believe I broke that curse and it jumped up a generation because my dad and I were bonded in covenant together. And I believe it went up to him. Who is your faithfulness going to help to break this?
That's good.
Where's your handicap at today? What do you need to deal with? Bring the light down, guys. I want you to watch this video. I don't know, what it took about 3 minutes long. It's got Pastor Rick Warren on it, and it's on the Oprah Winfrey Show. But I want you to see this testimony. I want to show you the fruit of resurrection life in somebody's life.
I want you just to shut your mouth and watch this tape, because Pastor Rick had one request for tonight's show, to include a man who he says is one of the best examples of winning the hand you're dealt. This is going to shut your mouth. Just going to shut your mouth. Just close it right now. Take a look at this.
Born in Australia without arms or legs, 30-year-old Nick Vujicic has become a symbol of triumph against all odds. His inspiring YouTube videos have been watched over 100 million times.
It's a lie to think that you're not good enough. It's a lie to think that you're not worth anything.
But the road to self-acceptance was excruciating for Nick. For years, he was harassed and tormented at school. When he was 10, Nick attempted suicide. After years of feeling worthless and alone, Nick's awakening came while reading an article about a disabled man who refused to let physical limitations hold him back. In that moment, Nick says he discovered the power to take control of his life, and he has. Today, Nick surfs, he snorkels, he golfs, and plays soccer. He's traveled to 44 countries with his message of hope.
Even the worst part of your life can come together for the good.
And less than a year ago, Nick married the love of his life and danced at their wedding.
Nick's in our audience tonight. Say hello to Nick. We're standing up for Nick. Now, this is what's so unbelievable. As you've heard, people complain about the spots on their face, and people complain about not having a boyfriend and not being able to have the mates of their life. What happened to you that you were able to take all of take your chemistry, being born with no arms and no legs, take your connections, your relationships, your life circumstances, mm-hmm. your state of consciousness, and then choose, make the conscious choice that you were going to take all of that, which the rest of the world looks at, you know, undeniably as a pretty bad hand, and that you were going to turn it into something, you were going to be exalted by it. What happened to you that you were able to do that?
Oprah, I know that you love to think out of the box and have things outside of the box in your show. Yeah. And I know that you love illustration. So if I may illustrate in about 180 seconds, can I do something a little crazy, but it'll be powerful?
Go
Is that
right
cool?
Here.
You got a camera behind me, right?
Yeah.
I got to show you. Come. This step right here. Is there enough light here?
Okay.
The chemistry. I was born without arms and legs. The chemistry I could not change in my life. I know that God didn't give me this pain. But what the enemy tried to use for bad, he turned into good.
Yeah.
Man, the connections. I want to tell Porsche. Look, I'm a guy. I love cars, okay? And I love Porsches more than Ferraris, okay? and I want everyone to know that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. And until you can actually understand that we are all wonderfully and fearfully made from God, I want you to know that you will always be trapped and chained and you will be stopped. But when you have the incredible power of faith in action, nothing holds you back. And you're beautiful just the way that you are. No worries. For me, I felt the connection. Yeah. For me in my life, I'm thinking, man, I'm not going to get married. I can't, you know, can't even hold my wife's hand. What connection am I going to have? But you know what? All things come together for the good for those who love him. Man, this is a little bit high. I'm going to break my arm, man. This is pretty crazy. All right.
I'm going to break my arm.
Circumstances. Being born without arms and legs, man, it's all about choice. You asked me what it was. I had parents who were my heroes. They always said, you can either be angry for what you don't have or be thankful for what you do have. Do your best and God will do the rest. Then consciousness. Because I gave my life to Lord Jesus Christ and the renewing of my mind,
wow.
I knew that I could be unstoppable.
Here's how we're going to end today. If there's a small chance, in some shape, form, or fashion, you've got a stinking attitude about the hand of cards that God dealt you, there's someone who loves you very much. Will you please deal with it before you leave today?